We're turning in the pages as we're studying the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're walking through this essential theology that we need as believers. And we need essential theology. We need sound doctrine so that we can practice it and have a sound life. And so turn with me. And as you're turning so we can hear God speak, we're going to be focusing today on the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates us. Now, there's some of a theological persuasion that think that I'm going to answer the question today if regeneration is before faith and repentance or at the same time or after. That's 12 weeks, okay? You have to wait till then, the doctrine of salvation, when we get there. One thing we all agree on is this: God does the work, amen? The Holy Spirit regenerates us, and we're going to focus on that. So as you're turning there, Titus chapter 3, in a moment we're going to stand and read this little section that Paul has written. It's probably the most important passage that really focuses directly on the regenerating work of the Spirit of God. But I want you to turn on the pages of your life. You know, your life and my life, God's writing a story. Every day there's a new page that's being written. And there's some blank pages. Some of us are further along in the story, amen. But there's some blank pages yet to be written. We want to write those and God to write them in our life, all living for the glory of God and for the goodness that he has for us. But if you turn back in your book, in your life, and look at your life before Christ, those chapters that were before you came to know Jesus, or maybe there's chapters in your book you haven't yet come to know Jesus, and this sermon is for you this morning. All of us could look back and see some experiences in our life that might make us cringe or might make us worry. Have you ever had this written on one of the pages or experiences in your life? You're wearing a nice white shirt, you're dressed up, and you're eating at a fine Italian restaurant, and you order the spicy meatballs. And you have the wonderful opportunity of grabbing one of those meatballs and it falls off your fork and just kind of rolls down your nice white shirt. Have you ever had that experience? What a joy, what a privilege to think, oh my goodness, all of a sudden your stomach just sinks and you think, I'm never going to get this clean, right? I'm never going to wash out this stain. I've ruined this good shirt and I can't undo this. Well, that's like our life in a lot of ways. Now the modern world, listen, they are obsessed with self-improvement, fixing our flaws and cleaning up our own acts. But we try desperately to scrub away the stains of our past sin and our mistakes, our bad habits, our regrets, and sometimes our guilt. But if we're honest with ourselves this morning, what we have to realize is that stain of sin, listen, it may be on our clothes, on the exterior, but woven into the fabric of who we are is the sin that only God can wash away and cleanse. That there's a stain there. Our lives reflect it. The decisions that we've made, experiences we've... It's evident. It's there. But what can wash it away? What can cleanse us? We can't fundamentally fix in and of ourselves what's broken on the inside. We need God to fix us on the inside. And that's the great news, the good news of the gospel, that God is able to do precisely that. Christianity is not some self-help seminar. We're not here to help one another just to cope with life. The Word of God doesn't just give us instructions on how to scrub your own soul. What happens is the Word of God gives us the truth that, listen, God is able to revive us, renew us, and it's through the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit of God. We serve a God this morning. Listen, he steps into our lives and into our mess and sees our stained lives and says, I have the only remedy for that, the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's the Spirit of God that takes that finished work of Christ and applies it to our hearts and to our lives. And it's through this regenerative work of the Spirit of God. Regenerative just means born again, regenerate. It's a word that's only used a couple times in the New Testament. And the idea is that you are born again. Literally, it's two words that are put together, which means that. Why do we need to be born again? Because in Adam, we are dead in our sin and trespasses. We are incapable of spiritual renewal in our own strength, in our own self. And so what the scriptures teach clearly is that it is the Spirit of God who does that work in our life. We are dependent upon God to work in us, to change us, to transform us. And it's the Spirit we're learning is the agent by which God does that. He convicts us of sin. He convinces us of the truth. He tells us there's a wrath to come and we need to get our hearts right. You'll be learning about that over the next couple weeks as we talk about the indwelling presence of the Spirit, his conviction. He convinces us as the teacher into all truth. And this is a good theology, listen, as we'll see at the end of the sermon, for us to know as we walk out those doors today, how to walk in a newness of life, because the Spirit of God is at work right here in me and in you. You see, it's the new birth. The Spirit implants in us himself. He comes and dwells within us. And when he does, he gives us a new will. He gives you and I new desires. He gives us new passions and affections. And that's how we should be living day by day as we progressively become more and more like Christ. I want to encourage you to stand with me. If you found Titus 3, stand with me as we hear just these five verses, verses 3 through 8. As we listen to God's word, as he speaks to us this morning, Paul writing to Titus there on the Isle of Crete, reminding him of the supernatural, life-giving, transformational work of the Spirit of God. Oh, I want this work to happen in my life and in your life today. Amen. For we ourselves, chapter 3, verse 3, we ourselves were also once, so that means this is our past, we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Notice this. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. May it be profitable to us today, Lord. May it be good to us today to know these truths, to know the truth that the Spirit of God has taken the work of Christ and applied it to my heart so that my life is made new. And Father, perhaps today here, under the sound of my voice, whether in this sanctuary, watching online, listening on the radio, there's someone today yet that has yet to discover this truth that can transform their life. And Spirit of God, I pray, take this word and birth faith, hearing the word of God so that a life is transformed is my prayer. And for those of us that already know this truth, may it give us encouragement in our walk of faith to no longer be in bondage to the past, to our sin and our fleshly nature, but God, to be free and experience that joy each and every day, renewed by your Spirit. We love you. We praise you, and we ask all this in the powerful, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul is writing here for you and I to fully understand the transforming and the essential work of the Spirit of God in regenerating us, giving us new life. We have to look into the mirror of this word and on these pages. And what we should realize, even as we look on the pages of our past life, beloved, we were all desperate for God to do something in our lives. He says it this way here with these words in verse 3 that kind of describe a life that is, well, intellectually foolish and deceived, morally disobedient, and serving lusts and pleasures and our own fleshly desires. Socially not right with those made in the image of God around us. Paul uses all these terms. So I see use foolish because, you see, that means you're ignorant of the things of God. It's the fool who says in his heart there is no God and has no desire to hear what God has to say. Disobedience, quite simply, just means rebellion. And that rebellion is towards any authority that there is in life. And all those authorities are instituted by God. being deceived. We are, our minds are in darkness, and we are blinded by the darkness of this world, as there is one who is spirit of darkness who influences us and leads us astray. We serve our own desires, our own pleasures. We all can look back on those pages in our past and see where it was our fleshly appetites that ruled over us. We were unable to get free from our bondage. We were slaves to our passion. We lived in envy or malice towards others, a way of evil thinking about people around me and desiring what they have, never satisfied with what God has given. You see, all of this is hateful living. It's living with hate towards one another when we're called to walk in love. That's our past. That's what we were. Paul says, you once were this. I would circle that in my Bible, and I'd remind myself of that today. He did that as well to the Corinthians over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can write that in the margin of your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul writing to that church in Corinth, which, by the way, was a famous city in the ancient world, one which was known for its extreme decadence, its immorality, its idolatry. It was corrupt, not just the government. The hearts were corrupt. It was a place where anything goes. And Paul wrote to them similarly as he writes to the Titus on the Isle of Crete. Paul writes over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "For do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." That's a devastating list. Not just the sexual sins that are listed there, broken relationships, but greed and addictions and theft and destructive speech. Now, all of us could look back and somewhere on the pages of our past, we would see that I'm guilty of that. In fact, there's some who might say, well, Pastor, I'm not really that bad. I'm not as bad as some of those things on that list. But beloved, we're all guilty in some point. If you've ever desired something of someone else, coveting it, then you're guilty. And that's not an action, that's an intent of our hearts. But what Paul says there is really important for us, because he says this, which is a powerful word of Scripture in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6. He says this, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus," listen to this, "and by the Spirit of our God." Now catch that. Such were some of you. Not such are you, such were you. You see, this is important to understand. I need to understand this theology and this truth, that the work that Christ has accomplished on the cross has been applied to my heart and changed my identity. I mean, people today love to live by their identity. We've got an identity crisis out there. And it's not just in the world, it's in the church. We have forgotten the truth that is taught here, the essential truth and doctrine that we once were something, but praise God, God's done a work in our life. And we are new. We have been made new. The Spirit of God has done this work in you, and I pray in you and in me. He is the catalyst. He is the one who made this possible. It's not by our works. It's not by anything we have done. It is all the work of God. And we surrender and yield to it and allow him to do that good and perfect work in us. What happened at the cross, this is highlighted back in the book of Titus as he speaks also how the Spirit of God works in this way. Beloved, when the grace or the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, when did that happen? When did God show his love to you and to me? When did he show his kindness toward us? Well, do you remember what Jesus told over in John chapter 3, Nicodemus? "For God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his only begotten Son." Praise the Lord today. When Jesus came, God extended his love toward us. And when he did that, he came to be the Savior, to give his life for you and for me. And that, listen, the work, listen, not our righteousness. It's not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but all according to God's mercy, he has now saved us through the washing and regeneration of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What Paul is saying and unpacking these words here and these verses is there is a gracious work that God has done on our behalf. And praise the Lord that he's done that because, beloved, we don't possess the ability in and of ourselves to do it. He says it's not of any works of righteousness you and I have done. If you go over to the prophet Isaiah, what you'll discover there is Isaiah will say, your righteousness, my righteousness, is filthy rags before a holy God. Beloved, there's nothing you and I can do to do better, to try harder, to make us ourselves acceptable to God. God is not waiting, but some of us think, well, I'll just get myself to be good enough or clean enough, and then I'll come to God. No, we come realizing we're broken and broke, and we've got nothing, and we need God to do that work in us. And so by his mercy, praise God, we experience that amazing grace that we sang of earlier. This is the washing of regeneration. Again, regeneration just means, it's a Greek word, palingenesia, which means palin, which means again, in Genesis, you all know what Genesis is, it's the beginning, it's the birth. There is a new birth. There is a born again, a recreation. The Spirit of God, we who are dead in our trespasses and sin, the Spirit of God comes and applies the work of Christ to our spiritually dead hearts. Praise God he does. When he comes, the Spirit comes and saves us and dwells within us. Praise God he doesn't just give us a makeover. He's not just painting another coat of paint on us to cover over something. That's what we typically do to make something look fresh and new. He does a completely different work. He doesn't rehabilitate us. He regenerates us. If something is rehabilitated, what it means is it's broken and some simple repairs are made. The work of the Spirit of God is to birth us new again, to bring us from death to life. And that's what the prophet Ezekiel said. God said, this is what I'm going to do. Over in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he says this, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you instead a heart of flesh. When we cry out to God, God have mercy on me. I repent. I'm a wretched sinner. I can't save myself. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ who offered the sacrifice I could never pay. And I want to put my trust in what he paid for me at Calvary. The Bible says we're born again and something changes within us. And we now have no longer a heart of stone, unyielding to the Lord, but a heart of flesh. And he begins to renew us and revive us and to give us life and vitality that he's always intended for mankind to experience. Paul would tell the Colossians over there that when Jesus died on the cross, the certificate that was written against us was nailed there. What's the certificate that he nailed there? Well, you see, the wages of sin is death. Someone has to pay that penalty. And Jesus, because he lived the righteous life, as Sydney just sang, who knew that a lamb could rescue the souls of lost men? This is the Lamb of God who came to take away our sin. And so he lived that perfect life. He spilled his blood, which means he died, and he nailed the debt that was there against you and me. And all those things on that list, the foolishness, disobedience, hatefulness, the envy, the malice, the desires that we yield to, the sensual desires that used to lord over us, praise God, he's nailed it to the tree. Beloved, it's not there standing against you and me any longer, who have put our faith and trust in him. That's cause for rejoicing and celebrating. But notice this, it's the Spirit of God that has applied this work in our lives. That now, it's not just something I know in my head. No, it's been applied in my heart. The Spirit of God has taken that truth, convinced me of it, convicted me I need to be changed. And I put my faith and trust in him and rest in the work that Christ has done, that it's finished. In that moment, when that happens, the Bible says we are washed in regeneration, that this newness comes upon us. We are washed not in those waters. in the first service, Andrew Burris went through those waters testifying that, you know what, I've repented of my sins and I've placed my faith and trust in Christ. I believe he died and he was buried and he rose again. And in likeness to that, I'm dying to myself to walk in a newness in life, trusting in him. Those waters are just good old county, Iredell County water. There's nothing magical about them. It's just water. It can wash away the dirt and grime on our cars and clothes and our skin, but it cannot get inside of us and cleanse us. Only one thing washes away our sin, and it's the blood of Christ. And that blood is applied, that washing takes place by the power of the Spirit of God who baptizes us into Christ's death so that we can walk in a newness of life. Now, what's fascinating to me is not just the regenerative work. Notice there's the regenerating, the washing of regeneration, but also he emphasizes, and this is critical, I believe, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What's the regeneration and the renewing? Well, here's the amazing thing, beloved. When the Spirit of God begins to work on us and we are washed in the blood of Christ, listen, positionally, you and I are justified and we are placed in Christ and declared righteous because of our faith. But that's just our positional sanctification. We are set apart to God. We belong to him. Praise the Lord this morning. But what happens, listen, progressively, there is a day-by-day renewing that the Spirit of God is working in the lives of believers. As Paul would say to the Ephesians in chapter 4, we're putting off the old and we're putting on a new nature. How? Through the renewing of our mind. We begin to think differently because we now have God's truth, and the Spirit, listen, takes the Word of God and begins to write it, chisel it on our hearts, and we day by day grow progressively closer to God. At least that's what our lives should reflect as believers today, that those things that once enslaved me, those chains that once bound me, praise God, they've been loosed. I don't have to be tripped up over them anymore. I can run this race of faith, and I don't have to keep falling down because, you know what, there's those chains again of who I once was. That renewal is a day-by-day thing. Now, this is important because I know some people love to schedule revival and say, oh, we're going to have revival. Beloved, take your phone and set it up for a recurring announcement every morning. I don't know what time do you get up, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. Did you know you can set that alarm every morning so that when you get up, there's a message there, renewal today by the Spirit of God. That's revival biblically, is that each day I wake up and I realize I can't do this. I need the Spirit of God to work in my life and through my life to change me. And I depend upon him. And it's the Spirit that is doing this ongoing process, renewing my mind. I'm learning to take life and take the events of life and take everything captive to the knowledge of who God is, to the truth of who he is. And I'm trusting in him. And the Spirit is now the teacher. We'll learn that in 3 weeks, when the Spirit is the one who now convinces us of the truth, because Jesus promised he would come. He said, I'm going to give another helper who's going to come alongside you, and that helper will guide you into all truth, and that truth will lead us in the paths of righteousness so that we can, listen, live the life that we should be living, but we don't in our flesh, and we desperately need God to do that work in us. It's not just that we're regenerate, we also are renewing. And the amazing thing, what we're affirming today, is this truth. It is the Spirit of God who works in us day by day. Now, the cost to do this, how is it possible that a holy God can take someone stained not by a spicy meatball, but by sin in my life? How can God possibly be holy and just and take a wretched sinner like me and make him clean? Praise God. It's what Christ did at Calvary. It's what he says here. We're justified by his grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The work of Christ, what makes us just before God, is all his gracious, amazing work. In fact, what's fascinating is if you hold your place here and you turn over to the book of Revelation, that last book in the Bible, there in Revelation chapter 1, where John on the Isle of Patmos, he's suffering his punishment from the Roman authorities. He's probably crushing rocks for the Roman Empire. God gives him a beautiful vision, an amazing vision, a revelation of the Lamb of God. All throughout history, he shows him where history is going. The future of history, written on pages. Praise God, we don't need any new revelation. It's all right here. He tells us the end of the story. And I need to know that. Well, there John writes this, and he helps us to realize that this washing that takes place as the Spirit of God applies that in my life and in your life, and the renewal day by day where we're washed by the Word of God. I'm filtering out the things of this world and the faulty ways of thinking when I didn't think about God. That no longer rules in my life, but now I think in a different way because I know the truth. And the truth is transforming me. Here's what he says. Notice this about the washing. When he has this vision of Christ there on the Isle of Patmos and writes to the churches, the seven churches, he tells them in chapter 1, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Listen to this. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise God today. When you come to Christ, when you realize who he is and what he's done, you realize he has washed you through the sacrifice he offered at Calvary. That precious blood is what covers us and makes us acceptable to God. He loved us. He washed us all by his blood. And our hearts, praise God, have been made new. Praise the Lord this morning. Have you experienced that? Have you placed your faith and trust in Christ, realizing who he is and what he's done, that he shed that blood for you so that you could be washed, so that you could be freed from your sin? It's the Spirit who takes that work and now applies it in my life. And daily I need to hear this. Daily I need to remind myself of this. This is the application of good theology if I know that it's God who's at work in me, not just in the past when he regenerated me, but renewing me day by day. This changes me as I walk out those doors and my life is made new because I realize I don't have to live in bondage to my past because far too many people do. Our past failures, our struggles, all our sin. Listen, the world will whisper, Satan especially, and his little imps, right? Well, there you are again. Look at you. You've done it again. You're a failure. You can't. You're an addict. You're a liar. Here you are. You're damaged. You'll be no good to him. You're going to be no good. That's when you've got to step on your own toes because I'm not there and remind yourself that your identity is not your past. Our identity is in Christ. He has changed us. We have been made new. It's surprising today. You want to see the identity crisis. You see this today. Listen, even in Christianity, it's crept into the church in a powerful way. We have those who will say, well, I'm just an SSA Christian. You know what that is? I just have a tendency towards same-sex attraction, but I'm still a believer. Beloved, we don't label ourselves on our past sins. We are believers. I'm not I once was a lying Christian. No, I'm a wretched Christian who's been saved by the grace of God, and I don't want a little adjective on the front of Christianity to say that's what I once was, and I'd struggle with it. I've been set free. You've been set free. Live like it. Realize who Christ is and what he's done. Stand firm on the truth of Scripture. When they come, look the devil in the eye. Look and say, listen, I know who I once was, but that's not who I am now. Such were some of us. Such was I. But I've been washed. I've been regenerated. I've been renewed by the work of the Spirit of God. And I thank you, Spirit of God, who dwells within me, gives me this assurance that my identity is not tied to my past any longer. Praise God, we've been set free. And now we are grounded in Jesus Christ. And that blood washes away our sin. And God says, this one's mine. And shall always be mine. You see, I've got to rely on the power of the Spirit of God in those moments. And I'm not trusting in my own cycle of self-effort. Well, I'll do better next time. I'm going to gin it up. I'm going to pull up my bootstraps. I'm going to try a little harder next time. No, I die harder. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith, necessary each and every day. It's all about surrender, giving your life completely. It's not just, I walk down the aisle and I'm good to go, preacher. Every day I've got to die to self. Every day I've got to take up the cross. Every day I've got to follow him. That's what a disciple does. It's the truth that we've discovered. Every morning, Holy Spirit, I can't do this. I need you today. I can't defeat this sin. I need you. Free me from this temptation. Help me to flee from it. Help me to run right to Christ. Run right to him each and every day. Give me the strength that I need. Renew my mind. God, I'm thinking the wrong thoughts. Help me to renew my mind. By the way, you need a word of God as the plumb line so that we can think straight. We've already done the doctrine of revelation. It's good for us and profitable for us. It trains us, instructs us in righteousness. Listen, you want to know the right way? Get in the word of God and ask the Spirit of God to apply that truth into your heart so that you live in a different way throughout the day. Now listen, think about this for a moment. If this is true, if we really believe this theology, it's not just good for us, beloved. It's good for anyone outside these walls as well. Or even the way we might treat one another in here. You see, we live in a culture, listen, you do something wrong and people will cancel you, right? They'll write you off. They'll say, that's just who you are, permanently labeled. Your worst moment in life, that's just who you're going to be. Listen. We are residents of Corinth, praise God, who've been set free. And we should live like that. We don't look down our nose at others and say, like self-righteous prigs, well, I'd never do that. No. What we say is what Paul would say over in his own personal testimony in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he says, this is a trustworthy statement, deserving all acceptance. In other words, listen, this is true. Take it to the bank. It is worthy of all acceptance. Everyone can believe this. This is a universal truth. Listen, here it is. Ready? It is a trustworthy statement deserving all acceptance. Ready? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the foremost. Paul would say, look at my life. I'm the bottom of the barrel. And if God can save me, he can save anybody. The hope that he's given me is real for anybody today who will say, God, have mercy on me. And you're going to see them this week. And when you and I live renewed lives, regenerate lives, we should be displaying this to the world around us. And when they come and ask, we don't look down on them. We say, man, there's hope. There's hope in Christ. Put your faith and your trust in him. He died for you. He loves you. He can change your heart. He can change your life. You can be nothing. That's who you once were. Praise God. He can make you someone that you haven't even yet become by washing you, renewing you, reviving you, giving you life. You see, this theology is very practical each and every day for me, for those around me, for you, those around you. But you've got to choose to unite faith to what God's word has said and obedience to what God is telling you to do. There's some here today, listen, you've been living at a dirty distance, and what you need to realize today is Christ has paid the sacrifice that is required. You can be washed and made new if you'll put your trust in him. God, have mercy on me. Oh, wretched sinner, I got no hope. But I hear the pastor today, and I hear the word of God, and the Spirit convicts me, and I realize that's me. I've got to change. But I can't do it. God, I need you to do it. It's what Andrew realized, made a decision when he was a child, went through life and realized I wasn't saved. Heard the preaching about sin and the need for repentance on the radio, and said, that's me as a 30-year-old man. Realized I need Christ. Got saved, and today he said, I need to be part of a local body. I need to be plugged into a church because I've never been a part of one. And I want to be one where they tell me the truth and where they go and share the truth with the world around us, the gospel, the good news. Maybe that's you today. Maybe, you know what? You are a believer, but you know what? You're not living in the power of the Spirit of God. That renewal that takes place day by day, every morning. You've been waiting to schedule revival, looking forward to a season where the church gathers together. Not experiencing revival day by day, earnestly seeking the Lord in His Word and crying out to God, Spirit of God, change me, transform me, renew me, revive me today. And maybe you just need to get on the altar and say, that's me today. God, I want to walk out these doors different today. Maybe you need to plant your life here at South River Baptist Church. You're tied to Jesus. He's the head of your life. He's your Savior, but you're not plugged into a local body of believers. Where individuals, listen, can hold you accountable to truth, and you can hold them accountable to truth. And we can exhort one another and encourage one another, especially as we see the day approaching, to live as the people of God, expecting our Savior could come at any moment. And beloved, when He comes, should be a time of rejoicing, celebrating what He's done. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. Let me give you a chance to respond. Perhaps the Spirit of God has spoken to you today and you realize, that's me, Pastor Chris. You've spoken to me. The Word of God has spoken to me, and I hear today what I need to do, and I realize there's a decision that I need to make. Right now, I pray that the Spirit of God would just give you the courage to make that decision, the willingness to make that decision, to yield, to surrender. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the altar's open. If you need to make a decision today, if you need prayer. By the way, there's no temptation that's not common to man. Everyone is experiencing temptation and trials. Listen, God's not wanting us to be tempted beyond what we're able. Sometimes we need brothers and sisters to encourage us and pray with us. We're all on this journey together. Why run and try to hide and try to cover over what God already knows? Let Him revive you. Restore you, give you new life, regeneration and renewal day by day.